Hey, everybody, welcome to my world. How's your world been? A little windy, a little wet. Well, it's that time of the year. It beats snow, doesn't it? Well, anyhow, welcome to my world, live, laugh, and whatever. And we've got some interesting things to talk about tonight. And we will have a guest coming in, hopefully soon, with Quentin, my good old buddy from Wilmington. And so he'll be joining me. And we'll be talking a little bit more about data centers. There's a big meeting that's going to happen at University of Cincinnati, and I'll let Quentin talk to you about that. And let's see what else is going on. I've got some humor, too. We've got a little bit of Emma and the Moron Brothers. I don't know if you know about the Moron Brothers, but they're out there. Matter of fact, I think I've seen them on the highway lately. Anyhow, guys, before we get going, do you have your favorite beverage? Do you have, snacks? You sure? Well, go ahead and get them really quick while I do the disclaimer, because we're going to get going on the show here pretty quickly, okay? Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt, and I mean a big grain of salt, and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. And tell your friends about us. And we're on live every Wednesday. Wow, we've got that out of the way. What else is going on? Well, I see somebody just popped in here. We've got Quentin just showed up, so we're in good shape. So we can get on with everything here. We've got to do something about Trim Radio Network, because if I don't talk about the Trim Radio Network, I don't say that I get in trouble, but, you know, I don't want the boss yelling at me. He doesn't yell. Anyhow. Michael Bejas is the founder and CEO of the Trim Radio Network. And Rocial Stefan is the chief operating officer and overall computer guru who's responsible for the day-to-day operational management of the network, ensuring efficiency and quality. And I guess I'm the chief relationship officer. I haven't figured that out yet. I'm supposed to make people happy, I guess. I try. And then we have Victoria Smith, the Chief Marketing Officer. She's responsible for all marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. And if you happen to have a club, a sorority, a fraternity, your university, a college, or a business even, get a hold of Victoria. She's great at marketing. Watch her show and get as much information as you can. She'll help you out. Excellent advice. Excellent person, too. So you want to check her out. Well, that's the Fab Four that we have of the network. Now, also, you can do your own show, too. And we'll talk a little bit about that just shortly. We've got Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. It's live, unless I play a concert. So far, I've got six concerts that I'll be playing throughout the spring, summer, and fall. So we have to give you advance notice of that so you can watch one of our encore editions. You know, it's something that Rush Limbaugh talked about, his encore editions. They were reruns is what they are. And we'll have those available. But watch us Monday on, I'm getting tongue-tied, and it's only Wednesday. Hey, watch Money and Change every Sunday, and we talk about things that are going on and how to save money. And, you know, if you want to invest a little bit in precious metals, I suggest it. I really don't push it because it's up to you. You make up your own decisions, okay? Watch us on Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. Now, on Wednesdays, we have Life Walk with Christ God, and that's with Michael Bejas. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Then on Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And we're live every Wednesday. Then we have Victoria Smith and the Natural Marketer podcast every Thursday. So you want to check out her show. Also, we have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas. And now that football is basically over with, I wonder what he's going to talk about, because basketball is going to go into tourney season. And after that, then we have the summer sports. So I don't know what he's going to talk about. So we'll let you find out. Also, we have the Positude podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. Good show. You got to check it out. We have Adventure Awaits Around the Bend every Saturday at 1 p.m. And then at 1:30, we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. So you got to watch that show. And then Saturday nights, 9 p.m. until midnight, Rascala Stefan has his Red Pill reality show. You know, you can take the red pill or you can take the blue pill. I want the green pill. I really like the green pill, and Rascala can't get it for me for some reason. Of course, I don't know what it would do to me anyhow if I took it. It's probably a kidney tracer. You know what those are. Anyhow, you never know, but Rascala has a very good show. He's on from 9 until midnight. He has different hosts and speakers and all kinds of stuff. Great show. You got to watch it. I've been on the show a couple of times. It's a great show. We have a good time there. Also, we have Revelation with Peter Kling, and you got to watch his show. And then we have Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. And Dora's got a really good show. She really does. And I'll tell you what, you got to check her out. I've known Dora for quite a while, and I'll tell you what, she has a very good show. You want to check her out, okay? We've got a blind spot over here. It's still vacant. If you want to do your own show, all you have to do is contact us, and we'll show you how to do your own show. We use StreamYard, among other little things, okay? But those are our shows right now. We want to expand them, okay? What else is going on? Oh, yeah, how to support us. Shop, buy the merchandise. Yeah, buy the merchandise. We've got shirts. We've got hats. We've got mugs. We've got t-shirts. We've got insulated travel mugs with lids. And then we've also got football top 25 premium piquet shirts. We've got t-shirts. You click on the next page and then you get the little boxes going on. We've got kid shirts. We've got offside mugs. We've got the red pill black glossy mug. We have other types of t-shirts. We have a round mouse pad. You can't corner the mouse on a round mouse pad, can you? There's no corners. Anyhow, then we've got the trim creator hats for dads. We've got little dangly ornaments. We've got the Trim Creator Studio embroidered beanie, because it's still a little cold out. And if you're up in Alaska, hey, you might still need one of those. We also have the earbud case or the AirPod case. And you supply the AirPods and buy our case. And then you always can find where that case is and your AirPods should be in there. I can't guarantee it. Okay? So buy the merchandise. If you want to donate to support the station, that's great. If you want to buy advertising, that's even more fantastic, because our advertising rates are really, really reasonable. And the money that we get from the merchandise or donations or advertising goes to pay for airtime for the show. And that's how we work it out. None of us get paid for doing our shows. We do them because they're fun to do. And besides that, we want to cut the bull and serve the truth, okay? We want to help people out. And if we can help one person out, that's fantastic. Two more, hey, that's great, okay? And that's all we want to do, especially with money and change. If I can help people save some money, that's great. If I can show them how to budget, that's fine. If we want to talk about what's going on in the world of finance or housing or whatever, they're not all dry topics, because there are videos included. And we also talk about the debt clock. And you have to check that out. We also have a website which is our Facebook page for Money and Change. And you want to check that out too. Wow. Here's our Trim Radio Network page for Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And that's an artificial intelligence picture of me. Anyhow, it really looks like this. Okay. And we're a private group right now. Eventually, we will go public. I'll redo the page and everything. But we're a private group right now. But as you can see, there's my mug. And we post things in the comment section. So we're going to talk a little bit about tornado safety and a little bit about what's going on in Sydney, Ohio, and other things. And you, if you don't know where Sydney, Ohio is, gee, it's in Ohio. Yeah, it's just north of where I live in Pickwell, Ohio. And Sydney's about 11 miles to the north. And they're experiencing data centers. And that's been a big discussion here in Ohio, especially with two data centers 11 miles apart and more under construction and or in the planning stages. So anyhow, we've got that. One of the big things I need to tell you about, I was going to have the University of Findlay page on, and I can't do that because they've got animation in that, and it affects everything that I do for the show setup. And it messes everything up. It locks up the computer, and I'm having to fight with it. And trust me, I've got plenty of storage capacity. I've got everything. So that's no big deal. But for some reason, it locks everything up. So anyhow, Findlay men are starting to go into the tournament season. They finished up with the league championship. They didn't win it. Walsh got it. But anyhow, they're still in the playoffs, and so are the women. And also, it's starting softball season, baseball season, track, and so forth. It's a good school. It's an NCAA Division II sports school, but it's known for its academics. Located in Findlay, Ohio, very close to I-75, and they have three campuses. They have the equestrian campus for horsemanship and equestrian studies. They also have pre-veterinary studies there. Then they have the hazardous materials campus where they teach you how to handle all kinds of hazardous materials and how to inspect and all that kind of stuff. And then they have the main campus. And the main campus has all their basic classes. They have the School of Business there. They have their basic School of Education, sciences, you name it, they've got it, except for law and engineering. I mean, but it's a good school. And very nice buildings, excellent staff, excellent president, Dr. Kathy Fell, who is leaving at the end of this year. And she's finally going to retire. But I'll tell you what, she's done a fantastic job there. Great students, and I'll tell you what, they've got over 85 different subjects that they cover for degrees, and then they also have 5 doctoral degrees there, I believe, and 11 master's degrees. So you want to check them out, University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. That's the big one, okay? What else is going on? Oh, yeah. You know, I always talk to people about GMRS radios. And I'll tell you what, they come in handy, especially what's going on right now with tornado season and bad weather. And you know, the tornadoes that were going on up in Michigan and out in Illinois and elsewhere, I mean, even around in Kansas and down around Louisiana and elsewhere, because there's been a few in the breakout. These radios come in handy because for $35, you can get a license that's good for 10 years. You don't have to take a test. You just pay the money. And they issue you a call sign. Anybody in your immediate family can use it. So that means your brothers and sisters, if they have a radio, they can keep in contact. Your mom and dad, they can keep in contact. Okay. And I believe your cousins could probably do it too. Okay. But they're great to have in an emergency, or even if you just want to chit chat. I check my radios, and I have a few of these GMRS radios. This is an Ocean 935G Plus. With this radio, and it's Nagoya 771G antenna for GMRS, this radio can talk all the way down to Wilmington, Ohio, or a little bit farther south, almost to Cincinnati, from where I live. And I do that by use of a repeater. This radio on its own can get out 35 miles. And I talked to a repeater in Dayton, Ohio, and I can go out 90 miles total distance. It's great. I've talked to people in Indiana. I've talked to people in this basic northern Cincinnati area. I've even talked to as far away as Lancaster, Ohio, which is east of Columbus, Ohio, and Columbus is 82 to 85 miles away. Yeah. Using a repeater. These are great radios. I suggest with bad weather, you want to get them. You really do. They do come in handy, and they're easy to keep charged up. And like I have several of them. Why? Because if I have to loan one out to a relative, I can do it. And it's really good for communication purposes. Okay, what else is going on? Oh yeah. You have to watch this one. And I've got to blow it up because I don't like this Google Premium and all this kind of stuff popping in. This is from up around Michigan. Or no, this is Kankakee, Illinois. Yeah, that was last night. Check this one out.
Lines turned upside down on Tuesday night after severe weather tore through eastern Illinois. A massive tornado neared Kankakee with heavy rain, damaging winds, and softball-sized hail, leaving a trail of destruction in its wake. The damage extensive, but amazingly, no deaths have been reported. But officials urge residents there to limit travel and avoid non-emergency calls to 911.
Morning fog shrouds the devastation.
Yeah. Oh, this was going on and on and on, and this was morning fog and everything else. And the bad thing is, I just cut that screen part out because we've got a lot to talk about. But you know, tornadoes happen. Yeah. One thing I use to track it is the Wonder Map with the weather underground. Okay. It's wunderground.com. And I'll tell you what, with this thing, it's fantastic. And I want to see if I can show that to you because I'll tell you what, it is something to behold. And let's see if I can do this. Ah, I hit the wrong button. What did I do? Oh my goodness, I've done it. No, I haven't. I just hit the wrong button again. If I can hit buttons, you can hit buttons, but sometimes I get confused on which button to hit. Okay, even Quentin's laughing on that one. Anyhow, it happens. Let me get to the Wonder Ground. I think you'll like this one. Let's see if we can get to that and make sure my fingers work and don't hit the wrong button this time. There we go. And it's wonderground.com. And right now you're looking at what's going on in the United States as far as weather. And if I want to, I can take and bring that in closer if I can get things to work. There we go. I can narrow this in if I can get it going on different areas. It's not going to work for me. It worked before, but it's not working now. Anyhow, it's a good place to go. And all you have to do is put in your zip code, hit enter. Sometimes I get New Zealand on here. I don't know what it does, but it gives you your basic things, you know, your basic weather stuff. And then if you really want to get into it, you go up here to Maps and Radar, you click on that, interactive radar. And for me, you can move it around. here's Ohio, and you can see the mess. And if I really want to take it further, I can really get down to the streets. It's kind of a neat thing. I almost think that I'm an amateur weatherman or something, you know, and, you know, I can take a look at what's going down around Wilmington for that matter or wherever. So it's a neat thing to have, and you can basically set it up to do anything you want within reason. And, you know, you can look at weather stations, you can look at air quality, a lot of different things. You can have different layers of different things you're looking at, but it's a good thing to have. And a weather radio is very good, along with that GMRS radio. And GMRS radios actually have the NOAA weather radio built into it. And that's a good deal. Now, what happens when you're in a tornado? Some people say, what do I do? Where do I go? Hey, American Red Cross, check them out. Redcross.org, and you look for the tornado preparedness checklist. And what you have there, you've got what to do. Okay, know where you're going to go, know what you're going to have to do. What do you need for supplies? Okay, emergency supplies, gather food, water, medicine, and know where it's stored. Okay. Make sure that you've got your medications. You know, I always talk about that, being prepared. Have a go kit, you know, at least 3 days of supplies that you can carry with you if you have to go. Backup batteries to charge all your devices, you know, your cell phone, CPAP, if you need a CPAP, continuous pressure air breathing thing when you go to sleep. Wheelchair. Yeah, I don't think I have a pocket I could store a wheelchair in, but you know where I'm going. Stay-at-home kit, okay, at least 2 weeks of supplies. Stores and pharmacies may be closed, so you're going to have a supply of cash on hand because you won't be able to use your credit cards. They won't work. Make sure you have some gas safely stored. Do you have propane? Is it safely stored? Do you have a propane stove? Do you have the right clothing for the season? Do you have your medications? Do you have a good first aid kit? How about those blue tarps? That's right, blue tarps, they're fantastic to have. And they're not that expensive. You can get them at Lowe's, Home Depot's, even Wally World, better known as Walmart. They have them too. And at least have three, if not four of them for your house. You can make tents out of them too, if you need shelter, okay? If you need to cover up broken windows, great. Piece of plastic to use. All right. Keep all your personal, financial, and medical records safe and easy to get. I have an emergency folder that's all plasticized. All I have to do is grab that and know where you're going to go and how you're going to be safe. Okay. The big thing is be prepared. I wouldn't be talking about this if I didn't think it wasn't important. Because everybody's experiencing bad weather, and some places are experiencing really bad weather, especially when you have hailstones coming down. And I listened to somebody today about hailstones, and they said, you know, you put a thick blanket over your windows on your car. And I thought, okay, that would be interesting, but sometimes golf balls the size of hailstones the size of golf balls are one thing, but softballs, that's another. And you're talking at severe damage. And you have to be prepared for all of that, okay? And you just keep going with this, what to do during, what to do afterwards, okay, and so forth. Redcross.org, check them out. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, you know, I keep bumping into Emma. And I always look to her to have something kind of funny to say. And this came up, and I just erased it. No, it did it again. This thing, I get everything set up, and I hit a button, and Emma disappears. Now she's back.
Quit eating like that. I said, until it's, Mom, you've been Tony, Mom said shame. I'll share when I'm ready.
Give it to me.
It's what I call the last Doreen. No, we have to share. I ain't sharing nothing.
Get off my scooter.
Mine
has black handles too, and that one's mine. I'm telling.
You want to share my bubble gum? Yeah. Oh my God. Does that happen in your family? Does it really happen in your family?
Hey, girl, how you been? How's your mom and dad? Girl, have you heard about... Hang on a second. Quit rolling down them stairs like that. Anyway, that's what you get. Anyway, I was trying to say, girl, did you hear about Mabel and her... Oh my gosh, Billy done tried to flush all his socks down the commode. There's water everywhere.
Have you ever run into that? Well, that's Emma. I don't know where she comes up with all of that, but it gets to be hilarious, and I could watch those until the cows come home. But the closest cow to me is probably 2 miles away at one of my friend's farms. Oh, well. Hey, let me get Quentin in here, because I'll tell you what. He's got to talk about this one, the Coalition Responsible Development thing. We've got to get him in here. Let me see if I can bring him in. If I can get him in. It moved me around again. What's going on here? Holy cow. It's not being a nice night for me. Well, there it is. And there's Quentin.
We'll put hey there, Stu. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
That's good to hear. You know, you were talking a little bit about emergency preparedness, and Clinton County had a real tragedy last week. I don't know if you've heard about it or not. No. We had a family that had a fire at their home, and 6 of the 7 family members lost their lives.
Oh,
In the fire. It was a mom and 6 children, 10, 8, 6, 2, and 9 months. The father survived. And so when you're talking about tornado safety, you know, it's also important to remember about fire safety. And you mentioned first aid kits, but, you know, in your home, make sure you have a working fire detector in there. And also, one of the things that I have is I have an electric arc fault detector plugs in. I got it from my insurance company. It's called Ting. It's tingfire.com, but it monitors my whole house electric as well as everything that's plugged in, and it checks for electrical faults. So I just wanted to toss that out there real quick.
Well, how do you spell it? T-I-N-G?
T-I-N-G fire.com.
I'm going to have to check into that.
Yeah, I think it's like the device is $99 with a year of service and $49 a year after that. Or if your insurance company could possibly pay for it. Mine is through my insurance company, which is State Farm, and I've had it for several years. And living in an older home is one of the things I'm worried about.
I would be. But I'll tell you what, I've got something you don't have.
What's that?
Well, I have an Elide fire extinguisher that looks like a red ball. And it looks like what the anarchists would have thrown back in the 1920s and 30s. You know, those little black bombs they used to have.
Right.
Well, it's about that big. And yeah, it's red. And what you do is if you have a fire, you throw this ball at the flames. And it sets off a little fuse in there, and it explodes, and this white powder goes everywhere.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And you can put them in your car under the hood, and the flame has to set it off. There has to be a flame involved. And I saw that as an ad, and I thought, hey, I'll see if I can get them. So I went to Amazon, and I typed in Elide and fire extinguisher, E-L-I-D-E, and it came up.
Okay.
And they're good for 5 years. And they're not that expensive. They come in a two-pack. And I have a couple of them in my garage. I have a couple of them in the shed. I've got four of them in the house at different places. If the fire occurs, of course, you're going to call the fire department, but then you're going to pick up one of these red balls and throw it at the fire. And in some places, like the furnace room, I have one hanging up there. And if I have any type of flammables, there's one hanging up close to that. The nice thing is...
What was the name of it?
Elide, E-L-I-D-E.
Okay. I'm going to look that up.
Well, I'll send you a link, and I'll even put it up on our Facebook page. But the thing is, these fire extinguishers, you can, of course, protect your eyes, but you can put one in each hand, providing you have gloves on, and set these things off. It's not going to hurt you. It's just going to disperse a lot of powder your way. It's the old powder type fire extinguisher, you know, baking soda or whatever they use in there. And I've seen demonstrations where a guy will come up dressed as a fireman, and he takes two of these red extinguishers, these balls, and throws them into a big trash can fire, big trash bin. They explode and put it out.
Wow.
Back. And then they show them car fires, and they just walk up and throw the ball under the hood, and boom, it puts it out.
I think house fires is one of the things that all of us fear.
Especially when the fire department takes 5 minutes to get there, 5 minutes to put their gear on, 5 minutes to get the hose to the house, and you're already out there with the Elide balls throwing them like crazy into the house.
Right, but right.
Those come in handy. And maybe, let's see, we've done Emma. I'll do the Moron Brothers towards the very end.
Okay.
Because that gives me a chance to look up the Elide fire extinguishers, and then I can probably show them on screen.
Okay.
Okay, we can do that.
I am definitely going to look them up after we get done. So you want to talk about the coalition?
We have to.
I just, you know, this is a fairly new group, you know, like sort of like how you found me out on Facebook, you know, I may have showed up in your stream or something. Well, all of these different community organizations, I guess you can call them organizations, Facebook groups, you know, that stuff starts popping up in our feed. And so a group of us got together, and we're from Indiana, primarily Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. And we share information about what works and what doesn't work, working to hold local government accountable. Well, about a month, 6 weeks ago, the leadership of the group started talking about, hey, we have this guy up in Wisconsin who successfully challenged a data center. He's really knowledgeable about the issue. He's not anti-data center, not pro-data center. We're looking at it from more of a governance standpoint. Why don't we have him down to Ohio? And that sort of has grown from one person. I think the latest list I saw, there's about 8 people. Some of them are experts in the fields like he is, a data scientist, some environmental issues, but also some local official. There'll be Gary Landsman will be there for the first 30 minutes or so, and then he'll move on. But it's going to be hosted at the University of Cincinnati, and the hosts are the Environmental Studies Group from the University of Cincinnati.
Let me see if I can put that up on the screen a second.
Okay.
Here's our page for that. And it's going to be at Zimmer Hall. It's a 3-hour session. Anybody from Facebook can go to that thing. Catherine Steele and Barry Blankenship and two others are going to, I believe, head that up. So far, 102 people have responded. And you join us for an important discussion on March 21st, 2026. And what time is that?
It starts at 1 and is scheduled to go until 4.
Okay.
They are having 8 people that's going to be on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a moderator holding that, but there will be an opportunity to ask questions for the people who are there.
Well, you know, I have some connection to University of Cincinnati.
You do?
Yeah, that was one of my facilities that I supervised when I was working in Cincinnati. I had all the vending and all of the open food snack bar things at the campuses. And basically, I had to go inspect it at least once a month or more. And Zimmer Hall happened to have one of my largest vending banks with 22 vending machines. And it was a big commons area. And I used to go check that out. And then we had vending in another area of the building. And that was just one of 20 some buildings. I mean, I was on the campus a lot of my lifetime down there. And it was a good time. Now, for the University of Cincinnati, I have to tell everybody, parking is not a easy thing.
Most definitely, because our granddaughter graduated from high school last year, and the graduation ceremony was in the basketball stadium. And yeah, it was a challenge finding parking. However, the 21st is also spring break. So it's not going to be as full of students, so it'll be a little less crowded.
Well, I'm going to tell you the best way to park, because I used to do it all the time.
I'm all ears.
Okay, take Martin Luther King, okay?
Okay.
And you see where this thing says University of Cincinnati, see where I'm pointing?
Yes.
Okay, off of Martin Luther King, you have the School of Architecture right here where it says Martin.
Okay.
Past that, I believe it's Crosby Hall that they're going to tear down. It's a tall building. And next to that is a driveway that goes to the library. And the library has a parking garage in it. And you can go ahead and park in the parking garage. Now, if you're going to walk to Zimmer Hall, you just go from the library over to Zimmer Hall, which is about where it says the U in university.
Yeah, I may have to extract this section of the podcast and share with the rest of that group so they know where to go and park.
Well, I might be able to give you a better map.
All right. Okay.
But it's the university library. And I forget the name of the library. It's not Lindemann Hall because that's School of Business. But the Langsam? It could be the Langsam Library. But anyhow, go to the library. And when you go
park in that parking garage.
Right. But don't park in Henry Winkler's parking spot.
Okay.
I used to park there, and I would get these notes, do not park in my parking spot. And it said Henry Winkler. And I didn't know that the Fonz from Happy Days was on campus. Well, it was a different Henry Winkler.
Oh, okay.
And so I parked a little bit farther from that, you know, but it's basically, I believe, a 3-story parking garage. There'll be plenty of room there for you to park, okay? It's either that or you're going to have to park over by the basketball arena. And that's, let's put it this way, UC stands for under construction. Because the University of Cincinnati is always under construction.
I know when we went to graduation, it was quite the hike. It really was. But our granddaughter is actually a freshman at UC this year.
I was going to go to UC, and then I changed my mind at the last minute. I probably should have gone there. My grandmother was in the first graduating class at UC in, I believe it was kindergarten education or whatever, way back when. But anyhow, I'm familiar with UC. It's a good school, and the meeting will be in Zimmer Auditorium, and it's a good-sized auditorium there.
Yeah, I think they were saying it held 200 or 300 people.
Probably a little bit more than 300.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good place. Just remember, get to Martin Luther King Drive, and you'll see the College of Architecture. It's called DAAP, Design Architecture, right here. And then there'll be another building, which was Crosby Hall. And then next to that will be the driveway that goes into the library parking.
Okay.
Use that space, okay?
So
that'll get you there. What's going to happen at the meeting?
Well, that's what I was about to talk about. Hold on just a second. My light went out. Let me turn it back on.
Well, I'll let you turn it back on.
Well, if it there we go. I so have
far, you've got 19 going, you've got 83 interested.
Yes. And now my light's cycling. You know, I have smart bulbs, and sometimes they aren't real smart.
Well, you know, you're having problems with bulbs, and I'm having problems with my finger on a mouse that sometimes doesn't want to work.
So some of the topics they're going to talk about is some of the pending legislation at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Talk of with the person from Wisconsin about what worked for them. Talk some about, I'm sure, NDAs, which it seems is an issue every single place a data center is proposed.
And an NDA is?
Non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some proposals at the state level to make those unallowable in the future on that. And part of this is, you know, there's some commonalities across all of these data centers, such as, you know, the big one is the NDAs. Pretty much every place has done things in secret. And all right, the light's driving me crazy. Let's see if that works better.
Okay.
Or nah. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So the NDAs are one thing, but each data center that's being proposed has its own little unique differences. The agreements with the school, what the schools will get for the pilot payment in lieu of taxes. Some places they're doing that, some places they are not. But there are finding some commonalities, particularly around the representation of the municipal corporations, cities, villages, port authorities.
Yeah.
Where there's a couple of law firms that seem to represent those entities. And, you know, from what I'm seeing, you're seeing a lot of commonality in the proposals that are written, the NDAs that are written, as well as the compensation agreements for the schools. And you're, you know, when I see a lot of times people have done public records requests, you get the same sort of delaying behavior.
You're being too kind when you say that. It's called stalling.
I'm trying to be halfway nice. I'm not. You said there's certain words I can't use, and it's frustrating. You know, not only for me, but for just about everyone that's involved with this. And as citizens, we expect better behavior from our elected officials, who are citizens just like us. And I would like to think that if they had this happening to them, they would not like it either.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you're talking about legal stuff, I found out the guys up in Sydney were chatting on their spot. And I was going to bring that up a little bit, and I'm just going to segue over to that real quick.
Okay.
And it disappeared. Dang, gone this thing. Let's see if I can bring it up again. Go back. Yes. This thing wants to scoot. Kristen Allen, I was trying to get her on the show.
And, I know Kristen.
Yeah, and she was tied up tonight. We just couldn't do it. But they have a good posting here, and they had one that I was going to talk about. The Sydney City Council member shares the reason why they want the data center, and it was logical from what they were looking at, because the city lost about 600 jobs. But then I was looking at some of the stuff that goes on, and it's called the Constitutional View. And she just put that up there, and I copied it onto my personal webpage for what's going on in PICWA. And she was talking about the Constitutional View, and she said if we compare this push for data centers, it looks very similar to how the railroad era was in the late 1800s. And she said states often took land, water access, and economic control from local communities. And there were certain types of things that she was saying we ought to take a look at. And one was property rights. And, you know, with the data centers, you know, consider property rights. And she says U.S. Constitution, 5th and 14th Amendments, receiving just compensation isn't really applicable, but could it be considered bribery when these mega corporations negotiate with small rural communities? And then she said, how about due process? You know, of course, this is the whole issue, because a lot of council members throughout the state have held their positions for decades. And the charters are built to accommodate certain things, maybe keeping residents out of the loop unless we are truly paying attention. And then equal protection under the law. And then she talks about the Ohio Constitution, Article 1, Section 19, where there is the true public benefit. You know, what is it? What's the cumulative cost of it? And then she said, Ohio has an obligation to its citizens to protect our groundwater, aquifers, and rivers. If they don't, citizens can sue, arguing the state failed its public trust doctrine.
One of the things, you know, you're talking about that specifically right now. This property has been annexed into the city of Wilmington. But the project impacts people outside the city limits as well. So one of the things I have done is I've sent a communication to the township trustees, the county commissioners, and the county prosecutor, telling them that they had an obligation to protect the rights of their citizens.
Yep, and they need to do that. And a lot of people here are just catching on to what they should have been watching in the beginning. And Wilmington and Trenton and Mount Oreb and Sydney are really getting going. And that's great. Here, I was driving down Washington Pike going to Troy, Ohio, which is about 7 miles away. And as I was going down Washington Pike towards Farrington Road, I noticed all the trees were cut down along the road. And the houses have yet to be demolished. And there were several houses that were purchased in this land agreement. But all the trees are down, and they're cutting even more down on Farrington Road. And this is going to be a huge expanse of land that won't have any trees on it. They'll probably landscape it when they're done. But to see the big old trees that were there suddenly disappear, and they're just laying on the ground, they'll be chopping those up and getting those taken care of. And people are saying, well, there's a housing development that's going in. Well, yeah, we know that. What else is going in? Well, the data center. How much noise is the data center and light pollution is the data center going to do for those homes? Are people going to want to live there?
One of the things I have done, you know, you're talking about trees.
Yeah.
And someone who belongs to the one of the groups posted a picture of an eagle that was sitting right next to US 68, right across from where the data center is going in. So the state has a registry of eagles' nests. So I pulled up Clinton County, and we only had one nest listed in the registry, which to me, considering we have Cowan Lake and Caesar Creek is right across the county border in Warren County. So I said, hey, I'm going to go out and see if I can see that nest. It looks like it's only about 700 feet or so from the road. You have to stay 660 meters away or 660 feet away. And I was headed there and I looked up and I saw another one nest that wasn't registered. And then I posted about it. And then people started popping up and saying, oh, there's one here. There's one there. And they're ended up identifying at least five more eagles' nests that are in the area of the data center. You know, a couple of them are within 2 miles, and that's within their foraging range. And you may not think of a farm as being habitat for a raptor like an eagle, but yeah, they eat, you know, rabbits, rats, all sorts of things that live in that ground or on that ground when there's crops that are growing.
Do they do politicians?
I don't know. Hey, you know, I used to be a politician, so I don't speak too terribly ill of politicians. And I sympathize with them.
Yeah.
However, a lot of their problems are of their own making.
Yeah. Hey, I've got one quick thing here.
Okay.
Let's just go over the Coalition for Responsible Development. It's going to be Saturday, March 21st at Zimmer Hall at the University of Cincinnati in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it will be at 1 p.m. through 4 p.m. And you need to park in the University of Cincinnati Library off of Martin Luther King. We have to put that in there. But I'll tell
you, I will
you
let more. That group know.
I will send you the proper map for that, and you can get it out. But I'll tell you what, we've just got a little bit of time here, and you have to listen to the Moron Brothers.
Okay.
We'll get a kick out of this. Here we go. If I can get them started, here we go.
We was kids from school, let out our cousin from the city. Here she come and spend the summer with us on the farm. I'll never forget the year he got into the poison ivy. Had no idea it caused him so much harm. Me and my brother told him he would grow if he eat a lot of green apples. That's how he come down with the back door drop. We were down on the creek of fishing. He grabbed his belly and dived in the weeds. That's where he found that poison ivy back. poison ivy. Now you know what it looks like. All summer he laid in the shade, couldn't even ride his bike. That day on the creek when he cleaned himself, thought it was weeds and grass. That's how he got poison ivy on his face. He blamed the whole thing on us. We thought it was funny. He told on us. We both got a switching. It's worth getting in trouble for. We couldn't quit laughing. Watching scratching in them places. He was itching. Poison ivy. Now he knows what it looks like. All summer he laid in the shade and he couldn't even ride his bike. That day on the creek when he cleaned himself, thought it was weeds and grass. Now he got poison ivy on his face. Now the summer slowly passed by and our cousin was getting better. Our mama used a gallon of calamine. But he took a major setback. Me and my brother tried to cure him with a coal oil rag and a bottle of turpentine. Poison ivy. Now he knows what it looks like. All summer he laid in the shade, couldn't even ride his bike. That day on the creek when he cleaned himself, thought it was weeds and grass. Now he got poison ivy on his face. And he got poison ivy on his arms and legs and neck and back and ears and feet and face.
There you go, the Morrow Brothers.
I've had an encounter with poison ivy. I had to clean a fence row last year in our yard and poison ivy. And I got heavy rubber gloves that went up to my elbows to work it. And then when I took my clothes off and didn't turn them inside out as I took them off and put them in the wash machine, I was just like, I didn't. And my wife wouldn't even come outside.
Well, I'll tell you what, I fell into some poison wood in the Bahamas one time, and that's 100 times worse than poison ivy. And luckily for me, I was by a blue hole, and so I went scuba diving in there and got the oil off my skin before it had a chance to blister. Mm-hmm. We've got to bail out of here. Everybody,
all right.
Stop back next Wednesday. Thanks, Quentin, for stopping.
Enjoyed talking to you again, Stu.
Hey, it's been great. Everybody, have a good week. We'll see you Sunday at 7 p.m. on Money and Change. And then again next Wednesday, right here again on the Trim Radio Network. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course, today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.